bless you. I think I'll just preach a while. How's that? Stand with me if you would. I'm going to the book of Romans to the first chapter in the 28th verse. Romans chapter 1 and verse number 28. And the verse says this, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. They did not like to retain God in their knowledge. God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Everybody says they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. I want to preach today about firing God. Firing God. The word retain could also be employ. So it's simply saying that they fired God. Amen. The Lord bless you. May be seated. We are living in an era of time when our economy has taken a downturn. And there is a rise in the unemployment rate. Some people have lost their jobs. Some companies are downsizing. Some economies are suffering in various parts of the country, and maybe even some here today. We are living in a time when it's a little uncertain right now. Things are not looking as good as they did perhaps just 1 year ago. And things are a little bit more uncertain. But let me assure you, this is not the time to fire God. But there are some people that have tried to fire God in their own lives. The Bible says that they did not want to retain God in their knowledge, and so they fired him. And they just decided, we do not want to think about God anymore. I heard a missionary say that in one particular country, people would not even use God's name in vain because they just didn't want to use God at all. They wanted to completely erase him from their culture and wanted to completely erase him from the existence in the minds of people. They were doing everything they knew how to do to fire God. Now, why in the world would somebody want to fire God? Amen. Let's talk about God for a little while and see why anybody would want to fire him. First of all, God is the creator. Everything that exists is his creation. God alone existed before creation. And everything that exists today comes from him. Amen. The whole universe, everything that is here, exists because of him. The astrologers say that the Milky Way to cross would take 100 million years traveling at the speed of light to go from one end to the other. Our little old sun is 1,400,000 times larger than the earth that we live on. It is a ball of fire, and it has flames shooting out of it that extend 300,000 miles out into existence. Amen. And if the earth were to be thrown into the sun, it could be completely consumed and burn up in about 1 minute. And yet, the sun is just a small among all of the balls of flame that exist in our universe. Alpha Centauri is 275,000 times further away than our sun is from us. And it is Belta Gerse is 260 million miles in diameter. That's a pretty good sized star, isn't it? The sun is 92 million miles from the earth, and that particular star is 260 miles just in diameter. My, what a universe God has put together here, folks. Amen. This is a big place. Someone did an interesting parallel here. And if we were to put existence as we know it into proportion with the sun rather than the earth, this is how things would look if we changed all of that. For some of us, it might be a pretty good thing. An object that weighs 100 pounds would weigh 2,760 pounds, you see. So I would not be overweight if I lived on the sun. So the problem is I'm just on the wrong planet. Amen. I have found a new excuse. Amen. A man that is 6 feet tall would be 1/8 of a mile high. His arms from shoulder to fingertips would be 160 feet long. His legs would be 250 feet long. That's a big man. His eyes would be 9 feet in diameter, and his nose would be 14 feet long. Eat your heart out, Pinocchio. The ears would look like the sail of a good-sized sailboat, and the hair would look like a large haystack. A common pen would be a column of brass, and a lead pencil would be as large as an oak tree. The Mississippi River would be 140 miles long and 109 miles wide at Memphis, Tennessee. That's if things were proportionately on the sun as it is on the earth today. I'm saying God made a pretty big universe here, folks. That's a pretty big God. Amen. And so, but he created all of that with just a word. Amen. And I tell you what, I believe it just like it said it. Hallelujah. I believe he did today. How do you know, Brother Grissom? By faith we understand that the worlds were made from things that do not, and the things that consist were made of things which do not exist or consist. So God made all of this world, friend, with a word. I believe that. I believe that he conceived in his mind, he spoke with his voice, and what God conceived in his creative mind became. Praise God. That's the kind of creator I want to serve today. You can fire him if you want to. He is a God that is entirely free. He's unfettered by time or by any limitations. There is nothing that constrict him or squeeze him into its mold. God is omniscient. He knows all things. All knowledge comes from God. God is omnipresent. He is everywhere. And all of those multiplied trillions of miles that encompass what we call the universe, God is already there. He's as far as the telescope Hubble has gone, and as far as other space vehicles are gone, they haven't scratched the surface in getting close to all that God encompasses. God is omnipotent. He has all power. And he gives power to whom he will. Amen. God is an eternal God. And he has no beginning of days or ending of days. Time is God's instrument. He transcends time. Time is just a creation that he used for a simple space in which he would do a certain amount of work with a certain group of people as we know them today. God is an immutable God. He cannot change. He does not change. He does not need to change. Amen. Everything that I know changes. Everything that you know changes. Things that we look at need to change. But God, being immutable, does not change, nor does he need to change. The Bible says that God is love. That is his very essence. Hallelujah. I'm glad he is today. I used to say that God is good, and thank God he is, because if he wasn't, he'd still be God. We'd just be stuck with it. So I'm mighty glad that he's a good God, and I'm glad that he's love, and that's his essence, and that is his nature. And God is light. Amen. Everywhere that God is, light is. Amen. Well, Brother Grissom, why is there so much darkness? Because light needs something to reflect to be revealed. He's there, but he does not reveal himself everywhere. He reveals himself to whom and where he will reveal himself and manifest himself. But God is light today. Hallelujah. The Bible said in him there is no shadow of turning. Praise God. He is light. And God, the Bible said, is holy. The word holy simply means that he is separate above, and he is set aside as being special. The name of the Lord is holy. The Spirit of God is holy. Everything about God is holy. He is a holy God, and he won't say holy people. And God is a just God. I'm so glad that he's just today. Amen. You can safely put judgment in His hands because God will be just. I'm thankful that I don't have to judge things. I don't have to judge people. I don't have to decide how everything's going to turn out. Amen. Some people want to judge everybody and judge everything and say who's going to be saved and who's not going to be saved. Amen. That's not our job, folks. God is just. You can safely trust Him. He's going to do everything right. He's going to work everything out. You can just to rest in Him without having to solve all the problems of the world. Amen. Praise God. I believe that's a part of faith. Just simply believing He's going to work it all out. Amen. It's all going to be all right. God's going to do things and He's going to be just when He does it. God is a merciful God. Amen. Praise God. If He wasn't merciful today, then none of us would be here. None of us would still be in existence. But we serve a God that is a merciful God. Why would anybody want to fire Him? Amen. What if God were to go on strike today? Or what if God decided just for one day to take a day off? What if God decided that He was a little upset with you, so He'd withhold your oxygen for a day? What if God decided, well, I think I'll just withhold sunshine for a day? What if God were to decide, I gave oceans and water, I think I'll just decide that I'll just take that away for a little while? Amen. Or what if God just simply decided, well, I'll stop the rhythmic beating of a heart? Everything about you, you see, depends on Him. Everything about you depends on Him. It would be a foolish thing to fire God. But the Bible said that they did not want to retain God in their knowledge. There came a time that people decided that they would make God in their image, instead of realizing that they and confess that they were made in the image of God. Amen. The book of Romans gives us the story here. The Bible said that for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold truth in unrighteousness. Everybody say, hold truth in unrighteousness. I'm going to tell you something. People know truth today. I cannot be convinced today that there is such a thing genuinely as an atheist. You would have to be very foolish to look at everything that is. And I know that we've tried to come up with explanations, and the more we try to explain creation without God, the more muddled and foolish it becomes. We just keep going further back and further back and further back, trying to find an explanation when there's one right in front of our face. Who ever heard of a design without a designer? Who ever heard of a creation without a creator? Amen. We don't even believe that an automobile could exist without someone designing it and creating it, as simple as that is compared to the complexity of the universe and just the human body or any other living organism. But to think that that could just be a happenstance out of an explosion somewhere. Amen. But people are trying to fire God today. Trying to get rid of God today. Amen. Because the Bible gives us the reason for it. The scripture says because that when they knew God, everybody said they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. You know, man can't even create God right. The Bible says, so they changed the glory of the incorruptible God into the image made like unto corruptible man, to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. When man tries to create God, you know what they make Him look like? Something God created. What else can they make? Hey, all you can do is create what you see and what you know. So they tried to create God, and they made him look like a bird or a beast of the field or some other physical creature. Because folks, we're limited today. All we know is what God made. We are limited to the limits of his creation. That's all we have. And that's all that people can do. And so we've come up with all kinds of ideas and all kinds of dinosaurs. We're finding more every day. And they take a scratch on a rock somewhere and can write a whole history high school book, with all the pictures in it out of that one scratch, and tell you everybody that lived back then what he ate. And no, they really can't. It's all imagination. It's all imagination. It's all imagination. The Bible said they became vain in their imaginations. Now, I believe dinosaurs lived, yes. Amen. I believe that they lived. I believe that they died in a thing called the flood. And I believe their descendants still live today. Maybe in a little different form. They may not live as long and get as big, but they're still around. You ever seen a horned toad? He's a scary-looking critter. Amen. There's some funny-looking stuff alive on the planet today, folks. It just don't get as big as it did at one time. And so the Bible said that they became vain in their imagination. Their foolish heart was darkened, professing themselves to be wise. Oh, and boy, hear that today, how smart people are, because they fired God. We don't need God anymore. We've outgrown God. Amen. What was the advertisement that came up? Put on some buses here in the United States, over in Europe, and they put it on there. What is it? You don't need to believe in God or angels or demons. Just be good for goodness sake. Well, I'm good for the goodness sake part of it, all right. Amen. But I still think that it's a good thing to believe in God. Don't fire him. Don't fire him. You're going to need him. Believe me. You're going to need him. Don't fire God. Amen. So they changed the glory of God, or tried to change that. And the Bible said they changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator. Amen. That's what happens. People fire God, they get all confused, and they get to worshiping what? Creatures. Well, could I preach about that just a little bit? What do you mean, Brother Grissom? People like to be worshipped. Amen. Some of you, if I were to look in some of your rooms at your house, I'd see some worship there. Amen. If you're not careful, people, this afternoon they'll turn on their televisions and they'll worship for a while. That's right. Some people will miss church to worship in front of that box for a little while. And some people will miss worshiping God, but listen to somebody sing a song about stuff they shouldn't even be listening to. Amen. Or watch people commit some acts that you shouldn't be watching people commit. Amen. What happens whenever you fire God? You get all mixed up. Amen. And these people that people are worshiping today, what kind of lives do they have? Well, you can read it if you like garbage. You can pick it up at any newsstand. There's magazines every day written about them. And how that they, fire one wife and get another wife, fire one husband, get another husband, have babies by two or three. Amen. Which one's in drug rehab this week, and which one's trying to recover from alcoholism this week, and don't they have glorious lives? Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that a great example to live by? Oh, but they live in nice houses and drive nice cars and wear nice clothes and party all the time. Is that all there is? Is that all there is? What an empty, empty shell of a life. Good. Come to the end of your life. And you hear me. Time and wrinkles happen to us all. After a while, things start bagging and sagging and wrinkling. They will. I don't care how much putty you use or how much you stretch. You'll be like the woman that somebody said, what's that little spot on your head? Are you he a Hindu? She said, no, that's my belly button. She'd had so many facelifts, that's what happened. Getting ready to go plumb over her head. But it doesn't matter, folks. Bags and sags and bulges, it's going to happen to everybody. Amen. Praise God. It's going to happen. So you don't put too much confidence in this old flesh. It's a time and chance happens to all. Amen. But you see, they got to glorifying the wrong thing. The creature got lifted up and the creature gets glorified. And the creature gets worshiped instead of the Creator. And that's a reverse process. And now we have people teaching us that this is all there is. You know, you just, from the time you live until the time you die, that's all there is, all you are. They boiled you down to a space on a tombstone. Just a little dash. And that's all you are. God thinks more of you than that. God has more confidence in you that God created you for eternity. God created you to rule and to reign with Him as kings and priests in His kingdom. God created you with purpose. God created you with dignity. God created you with beauty. God intended you to grow in all of your life and not become bitter, but to become better by His grace and then His plan and then His kingdom. God has a reason for you to be here today. Don't fire God. Amen. Listen to what happened. Here's what happens when you fire God. The Bible says God gave them up to vile affections. For women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men leave the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that just recompense of their error which was meet. Homosexuality and lesbianism. God said, that's confusion, and it is. Amen. They didn't want to retain God in their knowledge, so the Bible said He gave them over to a reprobate mind, simply a mind that cannot discern what's right and what's wrong. That's all a reprobate mind is. You do not know what's right and what's wrong. And we have people today that sit on courts and on judge benches and judge's robes and don't even know what's right and wrong. That's what happens, folks, when you fire God. It's dangerous to fire God. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. That's what happens when you fire God. Is that the kind of world we want? Is that the kind of society we want? Amen. You better believe that's the kind of society we're headed for if we fire God. It hasn't been that long ago, believe it or not, when I was in school. We really didn't ride dinosaurs. I made that up. It really hasn't been that long ago. But you know what? We didn't have to have guards in school when I was in school. But we did have prayer. And we did have a Bible. And we did pledge allegiance to a flag. But one woman stood against all the Christians in North America and had prayer taken out of schools. I believe what the man said. As long as there are tests, there will be prayer in schools. I believe that. Amen. But the fact of the matter is, just one person stood up. And the vast majority just was silent and didn't say a thing. And so today, what's happened to our public schools? It's done nothing but go downhill. Test scores, downhill. Everything about education, downhill. When you fire God, you have problems. What happens when you kick God out of your family? Out of your home? You're going to have some trouble. Big trouble. What, you're going to have problems with one another as a husband and a wife. And you're going to have problems with your children. When you fire God, you're going to head for a lot of trouble. A lot of heartache. A lot of emptiness. I know, and I hate to say this today, but I hear parents say they can't wait till their children are grown and get out of the house. Amen. Praise God. You know, that's a sad way to have to look at life, isn't it? That you're such a failure because you fired God that you can't even love your children. And children can't love their parents. And you can't have the greatest joy that's on the face of the planet, and that's having a good home. But when you fire God, you're going to have troubles. You're going to have all kinds of problems. This is the fruit of it. Did you hear what it said or talk about some of these things? Unrighteousness, fornication, all kinds of sexual sin, wickedness, covetousness. Do we see any covetousness today? That's what our whole system's based on. Our whole economy. Amen. It used to be about saving. Now it's about spending. Our government's so desperate, they're wanting to give you some more money to spend. Amen. Well, send it on, bud. I'll spend all you give me. But hey, it's not going to solve the problem. You're not going to, we've never spent our way out of a problem. Amen. I don't know what happens to you, but if I spend more money than I have in the bank, they send me a notice that they're out of money. Insufficient funds. Amen. You see, but whenever they run out of money, they just go say, hey, we're too big to fail. Bail us out. Give us a few billion. Isn't that something? Folks, when you fire God, everything gets wacky. Everything There's no right and wrong. Everybody has their own idea. Everybody goes their own way. Amen. And it gets so confused because that's what happens when you fire God. God is light and God is truth. And when you do away with truth, what do you have? A lie. When you do away with light, what do you have? Darkness. When you do away with peace, what do you have? Confusion. When you do away with love, what do you have? Lust and turbulence and hate and violence. God is everything that's good and God is everything that's positive. And when you fire Him, that's what you get. Don't fire God today. My advice is don't fire Him, find Him. Would you stand with me? I know today what some of you are thinking. How can a person fire God? And in one sense, you're absolutely right. Can you imagine a puny figure raising his fist? Why is it that when people want to talk about God, they look up to the heavens? Because it's the biggest thing they can find. And they look up to the vastness that God feels and shake their puny little fist. God, I fire you. Amen. I don't believe in you anymore. And God weeps. It says, oh, that you just understood what you're doing, what you're bringing into your life and into your family and into your future and into your world. Don't fire God. Find Him. Amen. Don't be angry with God. Learn to love Him. Don't fight God. Learn to cooperate with Him. Don't try to hide from God. Learn to walk with Him.